Blog Talk Radio.
To be your host for tonight's broadcast. And as always, this show is produced by acclaimed historian, author, and educator, Leslie Gist Etheridge, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African-American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who with faith and focus are passionately preserving our rich history through literature, through the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. I want to thank everyone for joining us, and we'd love for you to be a part of tonight's discussion. And tonight we have a very special guest with us, Sherrard N. Gresham, who, in layman's terms, is a stamp, coin, and precious metals collector. Mr. Gresham, welcome to the show. Mr. Gresham, are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the Gist of Freedom is Faith.
Yeah, I'm glad to be a part of this.
Well, thank you. We're very honored to have you with us. Yes. Now, I know that before you began this second career, that you worked in human services for about 30 years, and your calling today in your current efforts is to instill hope and confidence in our people by your love of stamp and currency collecting, correct?
Right.
Okay. Mr. Gresham is also author of African Americans on U.S. Currency and Numismatic Materials, Coins and Metals. And we can all learn more about him by visiting his website, www.greshamcoins.com. Now, my first question for you, Mr. Gresham, is, are there any African Americans on a United States coin or bill today?
Today, yes.
Okay. Share with our audience a little bit more about this.
Well, who's on coin today and right now that we can spend is Duke Ellington.
Really?
He is on the District of Columbia, the D.C. quarter.
Mm-hmm.
There were, in 2009, there were six territories pulled out, and one of those territories was Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. On the back of the Washington quarter, on the tail side, is Duke Ellington standing at a grand piano.
Wow.
And
okay.
That is circulating as we speak. There are two other African-Americans on coins, but because they were slaves, they were not recognized. On the New Jersey quarter.
So are those coins still available to the general public?
Those coins are still available. They're circulating as well. In 1999, the United States Mint put out a series called State Quarters. Each state put out their own quarter with their design on the back of it. On the front, which is the on the front of the coin, is Washington. On the back of the coin is a description of some history from that particular state. So they put out 50 different state quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They put out five a year from 1999, and it ended in 2008. And then in 2009, they put out the territorial quarters. So in the series from 1999 to 2008, there were two coins in that series that recognize African Americans who were slaves, but you would not know that unless you studied some history.
Mm-hmm.
The New Jersey Quarter, for an example, on the back of that quarter is Washington crossing the Delaware during the Revolutionary War,
mm-hmm,
on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the persons that is rowing the boat, his name is Prince Whipper. Okay, Prince Whipper came from Africa. His family he came from a prominent African family in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He came to America to go to school, and he was sold into slavery. Okay, and he's on that boat as one of the rowers.
Wow, fascinating.
Okay.
Now these quarters are still available. How would someone get
these quarters?
Are
circulating now. You can go to different coin shops and you can purchase them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in your change. You know, when you go
have
to the store and you buy, you look on the back of the quarter, the 50 states now are circulating.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I've never seen a black man on a coin yet. So I think it would be very interesting for our people to know about it, specifically our children. And I guess my other question is, have these coins, although they were circulated, what, about 20 years ago? You said in the early 1990s?
Mm-mm. 1999. Now, the other one that's circulating is, you heard of Lewis and Clark, right?
Of course.
Who settled the West.
Mm-hmm.
All right. On the Missouri Quarter, on the back of that quarter is the Archway in Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And they are coming back from settling the West. And they talk about Lewis and Clark being in the boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a third person in the boat. His name is York. York was a slave of Clark. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was very instrumental in also settling the West. He was a part of that team.
Wow.
They gave him a gun just like everybody else to protect themselves. The Indians were very, very impressed with York because of his way of speaking with them and working with them. They were very, very impressed. So he's also honored. You see, he's on the back of the quarter, but he gets no honor because they don't speak of him.
Right, right. Fascinating
okay.
information. Let me ask you this, Mr. Gresham. Where did you find your love of coin? And I believe you also collect stamps as well as precious metals, correct?
Right, right.
Where did you get your love of collecting?
Well, when I started out, it was some 30 years ago. I went to a bank here in North Carolina needed $3,000 to borrow $3,000 to purchase a house. And at that time, they wanted to do a net worth on me. And so my wife and I went in, we sit down. I'm fresh out of college. And they talked about what I needed in order to borrow this money. So they started asking me a series of questions. And the questions went like this. Did I have any stocks? And at that time, I didn't know anything about the stock market. Did I have any bonds? I didn't know anything about. I knew about EE bonds, but I didn't know about corporate bonds or BB bonds, any of that. I bonds, I didn't have any of that. So the third question was, did you have any collectibles, like coins and stamps or art collections? I didn't have any. So the last question was, Mr. Gresham, do you have an insurance policy? And I said, yes, ma'am, I do. She said, how much is it worth? I said, $10,000. She said, Mr. Gresham, you're worth more dead than you're alive. And then I didn't receive the loan. I was very emotional, hurt by that, and I walked out the bank with my wife. We eventually went to a loan company and borrowed the $3,000 at a 32% interest, okay? And so I could get my wife the house. But from that experience, I began as a collector to try to build my self-worth, okay, from a financial standpoint. So
right.
then as I began to do that, I began to discover that all of your history, American history, is on their money and is on stamps.
Fascinating.
Okay, and so that's how it got me. And then when I started discovering all of my people had something to do with this money. That what drove me to continue to do this and begin to share to people today and put it in the book.
You know, let's recap because I think it's, you know, firstly, I think there's two things. Number one, we don't know that there are African Americans actually depicted and in circulation on United States coins, and that's number one, and that's one of the most important things that we talk about just in terms of creating that value, if you will, and inspiring our people. But the other thing, too, is let's go back in and talk a little bit more, because I'm sure that you, in part, are an historian through your love of stamp and coin collecting, correct?
That's right. That's
so let's go back in and talk about, for instance, you mentioned the New Jersey Quarter.
Okay.
What else can you share with us about the African-American who is depicted on the back of that quarter that our listeners may not know about?
Well, Prince Rupert came from a rich family out of from Africa. He came over here to go to school. His parents were very, very prominent. And as a result, they wanted him to come here to go to school. And so when he came here, under that premise, he then was sold into slavery and not able to get an education. Okay, and then he was taught the how to become an oar, you know, doing the ship and all of those kinds of things. Because he was a slave of one of Washington's generals, one of Washington's generals that was on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and that's how he got on the boat, because he was a slave of one of Washington's soldiers.
Right.
Okay, and so that's how he was able to be on the boat.
And his name is again?
His name is Prince Whipper, which is W-H-I-P-L-E.
Okay, Prince Whipple. And what else can you share with us about him beyond being stuck on a coin? What role may he have played in our history beyond that?
That's the only role that right now that I know that he played, other than coming from that prominent family,
okay.
that he came from a family that had plenty of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so one person that was poor, a very educated guy, you know, came here to get more education.
Right.
But instead of that, was sold into his, and then it was at one point was promised, you know, once he went through this thing that he would be freed, but he was not.
Okay. Well, again, I would encourage our listeners to do a little research on this information. And how did you uncover this information? Are there any books where we can learn more about? I know your book, certainly. You talk a little bit about your book on your website. Yeah.
Right.
Are there any other resources where we can learn more about African Americans on coins or on bills?
Well, to tell you the truth, no, it's not. Because all of this is in, all these are in. See, when I did this research, I researched it from the standpoint of, for example, the paper money. How I found out about that, a brother wrote a book called A Confederate Currency, The Color Money. Okay? And in that book were slaves on Confederate money in Southern states and in Confederate states and all throughout the South. Mm-hmm. Now, when I brought his book, that was the first time that I knew there were slaves on Confederate money. So I began to buy the original pieces.
I see.
So that's how my book started out,
mm-hmm.
was sharing that part of the paper money, so you can see the paper money, then there's a picture of the slaves on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I actually started out in finding out about that, that portion of it.
Let's make sure, Mr. Gresham, that our listeners know where they can get your book that you authored, African Americans on U.S. Currency and Numismatic
right.
Materials, Coins and Metals. And
right.
I encourage our listeners to visit your website, www.greshamcoins.com. Can they purchase the book from that website, Mr. Gresham?
Yes, sir. They can.
Okay. Great, great. Now, I know you spent a lot of time going across the country and doing presentations. You probably bring your collection with you into classrooms and into different organizations and churches, correct?
Right, right. Got one next week, matter of fact, doing a Black Expo here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay. And what do you talk to people about when you go in and do these presentations? I'm sure that they're fascinated, as am I and our listeners. What are some of the things that your hot topics? What do you like to talk about when you get in there?
Well, what I do is that I bring and set up exhibits. I do that through display cases where you can come in and you can see original paper money. And also I do quilts. I have a series of quilts with the signers and the coins and all that on it, so you can come up and read about them. And then I answer questions for you. First, I also have on CDs. Matter of fact, I just sent Leslie the book and a CD.
Okay.
That's with the book. So when you stick the CD into your computer, it comes up to music, and it shows you the coins, the paper money, all those pieces. So then when I go to do a lecture, I take that same piece that I put to music, and then I go one by one and talk about that.
Wow.
With young people, I talk about it, and then I quiz them so they can win prizes and that kind of thing.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I'm sure that, you know, when you do a presentation to our young people, not only are you uplifting their hearts, minds, and souls, but I'm sure that their eyes light up too.
Right.
They must find it very fascinating to learn more about this.
Yeah. And also when I do pieces, like I take a roll of Duke quarters, and if they can answer the question, I give them a quarter with Duke Ellington on the back.
Wow.
So they go away knowing that, hey, check this out. This is pretty cool. So, you know, and it's not trying to, when I talk about comprehension, this is about winning. So there's no trick questions.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is about you knowing something that you didn't know when you came through the door.
And in many ways, I'm assuming that you inspire our young people to consider collecting stamps or coins or even precious metals.
Right. I even come and show you how you can do that. I sit down and say, I just did a piece with young people the other week about collecting the national parks. That's the series that's out now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2017, there is a coin coming out on Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in 2021, the Tuskegee Airmen quarter comes out. These are part of, a part of a series that is coming out that looks like the state quarters. When I tell you about the New Jersey quarter and Missouri quarter and the Duke Ellington quarter, they're part of that large series. So we can be rounded knowing about them and knowing about us, I come and talk about that. So that you can get, each year you collect, I think it's five quarters that come out a year.
Okay.
So it's six quarters.
One of the things I want you to talk about is how someone could start becoming a coin collector or numismatic collector.
Right.
But we just got a post here on Facebook about John Hanson being on the back of a $2 bill.
Right. And that one of the things is that is debatable. Because, see, on the back of that $2 bill, I've seen a writing about him on a $2 bill, and then I've seen the writing of the other independents on the $2 bill. So, and I have that, too, and I also have that $2 bill in color. So that I can share with folks about that. The reason why I have not pushed that, because there are the things that I have, you can't debate them.
Right.
With Hanson on the back of the $2 bill, people want to debate that back and forth. But the pieces that I'm sharing with folks, I'm saying, look, this, you can see this. This is not something that you look at that and you can say, well, I think that's him because of, you know, those kinds of things. When I did the Black Room of Media show about 3 years ago, we talked about that piece too. Now, I got there is a write-up about that strong write-up about the $2 bill and all that. And so I look at that and I said, hey, okay, but I did not put that in my book.
Okay.
Because I'm still trying to understand both sides of that coin.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the first person that I knew that was on the money was I did hear about him on the $2 bill.
Are there any other African Americans that you know of who are on bills versus coins?
There are no African Americans on bills. There are African Americans who have signed currency.
Hmm.
There were five African Americans who signed currency, whose signatures appear.
As treasurers?
Yeah, as treasurers, right.
Okay.
There were four registered treasurers and one U.S. treasurer. They changed the name in 1953 to U.S. Treasury. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And those persons are the Honorable Blanche K. Bruce. He was the first African American to sign currency.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he signed currency in the early 1800s, around about 1875 to 1896.
Mm-hmm.
And his signature appeared on the CD that I've sent to Leslie. When you play the CD, you will see his signature on that currency. The second person to sign currency was the Honorable Justin W. Lyons. Okay, he signed more currency than Bruce signed. He also signed what we call national notes. Again, a lot of people don't know this either. After the Civil War, the country was bankrupt. Okay? At the time that the country was bankrupt, slaves were emancipated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then you change your money. So every state had its own national notes. These signers, which I just told you about, right? Signed notes in all 50 states. Because when Lincoln changed the money from obsolete or Confederate notes to national notes, he did that in 1863.
Mm-hmm.
National notes existed from 1863 to 1934. In 1935, the Federal Reserve started. And then that's the money that we see today. Okay, which started in 1935 to present. So these persons signed national notes in all 50 states from 1874 through the early 1900s.
Okay. Tell us about
now,
Alexander Hamilton, because did he nationalize money as well? And what is Hamilton's role with money, if any?
Who is it now?
Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, his picture is on one of the bills.
Right.
But he didn't nationalize any money. As a matter of fact, he is the only person's picture that's on currency that wasn't the president of the United States.
Hmm. What was his role? Why was he put on money?
He was secretary.
Okay. Okay. Let me throw a couple of names at you, Mr. Gresham, and we got about 3 minutes left, so I want to get your final thoughts, too, and I have one other question. James Napier, Justin Lyons, and William Vernons.
Uh-huh.
Can you share any information about these individuals with us?
Okay. Bishop William Vernon. He was the bishop in the AME Church, and he was appointed treasury. He was actually the third person appointed treasury around 1906. He was appointed treasury right after Lyons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then who was the Napier? Did you say Napier?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Napier became treasurer after Vernon. He was appointed treasurer of about 1911. And then... Who was other? Did you say Bruce?
Yeah, Lyons, Vernon's, and Napier.
Okay, yeah, Vernon and Napier. Vernon was in. Vernon was the third African American to sign. What's unique about him? He was a bishop in the AME Church, and a lot of people of the AME Church don't even realize that he signed currency.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah, he signed currency during that period of time, and Napier signed after him. Now, there's one African American woman who signed currency. That's Asa Taylor Martin. She was in Jimmy Carter's administration. She signed currency in 1977.
Fascinating.
She was the first and only African-American woman to sign currency, and she was a U.S. treasurer. All these other persons before her were registered treasurers. She signed after they changed the name.
Okay.
And she was appointed by Jimmy Carter.
Now, when did we shift from gold currency to paper currency?
Well, gold currency, we did that in the early 1800s. But the gold was the backing, though. So you had gold certificates and you had silver certificates. Mm-hmm. Even though they changed the from doing gold and silver coins, they still had the backing of the paper money, still had the backing of gold and silver. That's why gold and silver, people are saying that if you really want to hold on to the commodities, hold gold and silver because it holds its value. Paper
right.
money doesn't hold. So
right.
you have Lyons and you have Vernon and Napier and Bruce all signed silver certificates and gold certificates. Some of these guys signed gold certificates that were $500. Some signed that were $1,000. All these are in the book.
Fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just unbelievable the kinds of money that these guys have signed. It's just mind-boggling. But the most important about it, Gordon, is that it's never been about black and white, Gordon. It's always
right.
been about green.
That's right. Economic.
And if you study this money and what's going on today, you can run a parallel. Right now,
okay,
they're talking
about
they're fighting.
Let's talk about that, Mr. Gresham. I'm sorry to cut you off. Let's talk about that because one of my questions was I want to talk with you a little bit about the first black banks. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You may have some information that you can share with us, but let's make it relevant to today. What is a good investment instrument today when it comes to either precious metals, when it comes to stamps, because I want to encourage our listeners who may have an interest to become collectors. So where would they start?
I would become a collector to do that because I love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not first do it for some money, because if you do something consistently, the money will come.
Okay.
Secondly, your commems, I would encourage y'all people, because I believe that the bottom is coming to the top, to begin to collect African-American coins.
Mm-hmm.
The Booker T. Washingtons, the George Washington Carver. In 2007, the Little Rock 9 came out, which was a silver dollar. Christopher's Attucks came out in 1998. Jackie Robinson came out in 1997. Jackie Robinson gold coin came out for $350. His
wow.
mint state coin now is worth over $4,000.
And where can we get this? You mentioned that
you can get these. Now these coins now that I'm talking about, actually they are not circulating. You have to come through somebody like myself or go to coin shows where these coins are there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a circuit of coin shows all across the country where people go and they purchase coins. Like, for example, I do coin shows up and down the East Coast. My
right.
next coin show is I'll be in Richmond in May. I'll be at the Black Memorabilia Show in April. You know, and I bring all of these pieces. And I share with people what to purchase, what to read about. First, I say read about the hobby first.
Right.
Learn all you can learn first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start a collection. Like if you want to start collecting all the black coins, start with Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver.
Okay, let me just update our listeners. Again, you're listening to the Gist of Freedom is Faith. Our special guest is Sherrard N. Gresham, who is a collector of stamps, coins, and precious metals. I would encourage our listeners to visit his website, www.greshamcoins.com, and pick up a copy of his book if you're interested in collecting. The title of his book is African Americans on U.S. Currency and Numismatic Materials, Coins and Metals. And again, you can find more information about Mr. Gresham on his website, www.greshamcoins.com. Now, because this is such a fascinating conversation, we're going to stay a little bit longer with you, Mr. Gresham, if that's okay with you.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Okay. It does. Something going. I want to take you back to. You asked me about black banks.
Mm-hmm.
There were two black banks, that were unique. And the reason why these black banks were unique is because money was printed after these banks. It was two banks. One of the banks, the first bank, was the Douglas National Bank. Okay, it was chartered by Anthony Overton. Okay, he was from he was born March 18, 1986, in Monroe, Louisiana. Okay, 1864.
Okay.
Right after the emancipation. Okay, he was a multimillionaire because he established a hygienic manufacturing company in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 1911, you know, he moved all his operations to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's where he started the Douglas National Bank of Chicago. Was named after Frederick Douglass. Okay, now that building, as we speak, is being renovated in Chicago. It's called the Overton Building. It is a four-story structured building. I have a picture of that building in my book. But this guy is unique because he started that bank to help African Americans. But also, there is a national note that was put out that we spend like currency, called the Douglas National Bank of Chicago.
Mm.
All right?
Wasn't there also a black bank out of New York City, if I'm not mistaken?
Yep, Dunbar National Bank. I'm going to get to that. That's the second one.
Okay.
All right? That's the second one. I put both of them in the book. Douglas was the first one, then Dunbar National Bank of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That bank was started by John Davidson Rockefeller III, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was started September 17th, 1928. It was named after our writer and poet, Paul Laurence Dunbar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what's significant about the Rockefeller Jr.'s choice of the Dunbar National Bank is that they have been long gift givers of money to African-American schools, Tuskegee, Hampton, and Fisk, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also they gave a lot of money to the African-American school in Atlanta, Georgia, which is now called Spelman College.
Right.
But you know who Miss Spelman is?
No, I
don't. Miss Spelman is Rockefeller's grandmama.
Hmm.
Spelman College is named after her.
Wow.
It's named after her because the monies that the Rockefellers have given to these institutions. Okay?
Fascinating.
And so,
fascinating. Go ahead,
so
Mr.
the
Russell.
Dunbar National Bank was housed in Harlem, okay, in the Dunbar
right.
Apartments. And they were located on 7th and 8th Avenue. And on the corner of West 49th and 105th Street in Harlem, New York.
Okay.
And what's fascinating about this, I had a T-shirt on with the money and the bank and all that on it, and I met a lady, and she lived in those apartments.
Mm.
pointed right to her. I just said, matter of fact, I just sent 7 T-shirts to her just
and
the other day.
Tell us a little bit about your T-shirts and quilts, and then I want to ask you about the dates for the National Black Memorabilia Show. I believe it's in Gaithersburg, Maryland.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What date is that show?
16th and the 17th of April.
Okay, 16th and the 17th of April. If you're interested in learning more about our coins, our bills, about precious metals, if you're interested in becoming a collector, I encourage you to come out and connect to Mr. Gresham, and he will be a wonderful, welcome resource for you. What else can they see at the Memorabilia Show?
Oh, man, a lot. Not just me. These are folks that have African-American memorabilia from everywhere, man, from our beginnings it's just unreal. It's coins, it's stamps, it's medals, it's arts, it's paper money, it's, oh, man, you name it, it's all there.
It's all there because Leslie, the show producer, will be there too. So I encourage all of our listeners to come out to the National Black Memorabilia Show in Maryland, Gaithersburg, Maryland, the weekend of April 16th. You can meet Leslie, you can meet Mr. Gresham, and you can just have a great time soaking up the richness, if you will, of our history and heritage. Now, let's wrap up with last questions because they're ready to pull the plug on us, Mr. Gresham. Tell us about your quilts and T-shirts, okay?
Okay. What I do is that I create my own T-shirts based on the kinds of things that I do. And so when I'm talking to the audience, I'll do the African-Americans' signatures on who signed currency. I have pictures and the paper money that they signed as a T-shirt and design it. I also have the different banks on T-shirts. I also have the coins, all African-American coins that were put out. I have those on the T-shirts that you can also purchase. I have all stamps, all the Black Herder Series stamps on T-shirts, our Black Writers, all broken down on subject matter. So everything is about education, because what I believe is that when you know your heritage, you know how great you are.
That's right. Very, very well said. Well, I want to personally thank you for being a guest on the Just the Freedom is Faith. I've learned a lot from you.
Thank you.
I encourage you to keep on uplifting, informing, and inspiring us in our wonderful history. And I wish you continued blessings in all that you choose to do and aspire, Mr. Gresham. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. And I appreciate it.
And in closing, let us all remember to share our rich history and heritage with one another, with our children, specifically our children, so that we instill in them greater levels of self-identity and self-esteem, and in that realization, in that capacity, even greater opportunities to believe, achieve, and succeed. Thank you again for joining us on the Just the Freedom is Faith. Good night. God bless.